AccuWeather forecast, a mixture of clouds and sun, windy, high today 17, cooler though with the wind chill. Nasty cold weather for the next few days in southeast Wisconsin could give way to some up and down conditions next week. That, according to AccuWeather's Elliot Abrams.
Looks like the pattern changes again next week to more of an up and down, middle of the road type thing where one day's cold, the next day's milder. We don't know if it's with snow or rain on any of those days or be some storminess. But the very cold air is going to be with us in the next few days. And putting it in perspective, the typical high temperature this time of year is 30, nighttime low 16.
The good news, though, for the next few days, we will not be getting close to the record low temperature set many years ago. Retiring Kenosha County District Attorney Bob Zaff could be facing the temporary suspension of his law license. He totally disagrees with the action being taken. The State Office of Lawyer Regulation has filed a complaint against him for the failure to disclose evidence planting by former police officer Kyle Bars in a 2014 homicide investigation. A 90-day suspension of Zaff's license is what is being sought. It'll be up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, though, for any discipline. Zaff not seeking re-election. He's being replaced soon by his chief deputy, Mike Gravely. Wisconsin ending last year with 588 traffic deaths. That's 33 more than recorded the year before, 40 more than the five-year average. The latest numbers for Kenosha, Racine, Milwaukee also out. Here's WRJN's Janet Hoff.
17 fatalities were recorded in Racine County last year, two more than the five-year average. 17 fatalities were also recorded in Kenosha County, one more than the five-year average. 74 people lost their lives in traffic accidents in Milwaukee County, 14 more than that five-year average. David Papps, director of the Bureau of Transportation Safety, says low gas prices and an improving economy last year likely contributed to an increase in the number of vehicles on the road and the miles traveled, which increases the risk of accidents. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
58-year-old Racine resident Liliana Reyes Matic is facing two felony bail jumping charges, plus misdemeanors for disorderly conduct and obstructing an officer. She allegedly threatened a woman with a lighter that looked like a gun. Criminal complaint says it happened last Thursday on the 200 block of Memorial Drive, the victim and another person arguing at a home there. Reyes Matic, who lives on that same block, allegedly pointed the small silver revolver lookalike at the victim and threatened to kill her. Reyes Matic reportedly told police it was only a phone. The lighter, though, was found at her house. She'll be back in court January 11th. A rather lengthy discussion for the Burlington Common Council in Committee of the Whole last night about downtown area parking. Perceived problems. How do we address them without spending a lot of money? Administrator Karina Walter said results of a three-day study showed there's plenty of on-street parking and a sufficient number of lots available downtown, suggesting an enforcement need, at least on a part-time basis. Alderman Tom Voss noted the problem of business owners parking out in front of their stores, really nothing new.
We have seen this come up time and time and time again. We spent $2 million to build a structure next to us that's underutilized. And how do you educate somebody not to park in front of their business that takes away a stall that one of their patrons could use when the city went on the hook and spent $2 million for the structure that we're sitting next to? I mean, I don't know how you educate them.
Flower shop owner Kevin O'Brien, blunt with his comments about parking violators, give them $50 tickets and tow their vehicles if needed.
I had a red Jeep out in front of my building 3-4 days ago. Chief, did you hear about that? 5 tickets on the window. Don't write tickets. Call Junior and have him haul them away. And let them pay to get their car out of there. I'm sorry. You know, I mean, you've got maybe 4 or 5 of all the businesses that do this parking stuff. Chief, go knock on their door. Say, we know what you're doing. Don't do it anymore.
That parking study itself was accepted by the Committee of the Whole. The administration will look at the pros and cons of full or part-time enforcement and the parking rules. Aurora Healthcare is expanding again in the Kenosha area. A pair of 3-story buildings planned just west of the interstate and south of 60th Street. One to be used for outpatient surgery. Professional offices will occupy the other. The development contingent, though, on the Kenosha City Council tonight approving a zoning change. The land originally reserved for manufacturing. It was just a few years ago that Aurora, which operates that hospital on Highway 50 in Kenosha, built new clinic space in the northeast quadrant of the interstate and Highway 50. Do not rule out the possibility of a tollway set up on I-94 in Kenosha County, based on the comments by the Republican leader of the state Senate, who appears at least open to the concept. Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald says adding toll roads in southeast Wisconsin and elsewhere is, quote, not going away as part of the discussion about how to raise money to pay for roads. The state, of course, facing a nearly $1 billion transportation budget shortfall without a solution. Kenosha County District Attorney's Office charging 34-year-old former Kenosha and lately Chippewa Falls resident Tamitha Ruiz with 5 counts of child neglect, 3 counts of intentional abandonment of animals, and 1 charge of improper animal sheltering. Kenosha police sent to a home on 27th Avenue back in October referenced some abandoned dogs. They found the property unfit for human habitation, let alone for 3 dogs that were removed. The charging document says a Child and Family Services investigation had been started against her a week earlier and that she had left town with her 5 children ages 7 to 14. They are now in the care of a family friend. Ruiz barred from owning or caring for animals, and she'll be back in court January 13th. And the Kenosha Unified School District's 60th annual Bandorama will be taking place at Indian Trail High School and Academy January 28th. That's a Saturday at 6:30 p.m. and then again Sunday the 29th at 1:30 in the afternoon. The event to showcase more than 1,600 students from the district's elementary, middle, high school, and charter schools. Tickets available via the Music Event Tickets link at kosd.edu/finearts. All the seats are reserved. You can choose between the Fieldhouse Performance Venue, that's $8, or the Live Feed Video Auditorium seating at $3. Both the Saturday and Sunday performances will also be streamed live on Channel 20. Now, this event usually sells out, and tickets are not guaranteed at the door. Guest conductor, by the way, this year, Dr. Calvin Hofer. He heads up the music department and is director of bands at Colorado Mesa University. Tuesday at 5 p.m. was the filing deadline for anyone desiring to be a candidate for elected office on the spring ballot in Racine and Kenosha counties. 15th District Racine Alderman Melissa Lemke will have a primary next month against 2 challengers. Otherwise, the 1st, 3rd, 5th, and 7th District incumbents have April 4th challengers. In District 11, Melissa Malden's nominating paperwork was not filed by the deadline. Racine Municipal Court Judge Rebecca Mason will be unopposed. Burlington Alderman John Ekus is not seeking re-election. Caledonia Village President Bob Bradley, no opposition for a 3rd term. Trustee David Prott, though, has a challenger. In Mount Pleasant, Village President Jerry Garski will be challenged by Trustee David DeGroot. Sturtevant Trustee Jamie Hoffman will challenge incumbent President Steve Jansen in April. Wind Point Village President Peter Christensen is not running again. That leaves Susan Santabria as the lone candidate. Pleasant Prairie Village President John Steinbrink, unopposed. So is Summers Chair Mark Molinaro. Longtime Burlington Area School Board member William Campbell, at the age of 83, will not be seeking another term. He was first elected in 1985. For Racine Unified, the candidates who filed, Dennis Weiser in District 2, Mike Frontier in District 3, and Brian O'Connell in District 7, Don Nielsen's district. For Kenosha Unified, the candidates are incumbents Gary Kunich and Dan Wade, plus Mary Motter and Zach Jacobs. Oh, and that Park High School teacher, Rick Melcher, he made noise about running for state school superintendent. He did not get enough signatures in, so he will instead claim to be a write-in candidate against incumbent Tony Evers and 2 challengers in the February 21st primary. Saying that he cannot handle hate groups on his own, Kenosha County Board Supervisor Damon Hallman says he's going to ask his colleagues for help. He's African-American, he's openly gay, told the board last night he recently had a town hall meeting after a shooting incident, and he says that the presence of KKK sympathizers and an establishment that normally holds skinhead music concerts, well, he has to draw the line at trying to deal with these kind of hate groups on his own.
With KKK sympathizers and skinheads, it's not a David Hallman responsibility. And as one of the few people of color on this board, I really need those of you sitting in this room to stand up, because that's not a place where I can be successful in terms of fighting that battle.
He noted high-profile crimes against gays elsewhere in the country and said, it could be me. He plans to introduce a resolution condemning violence and hate crimes against religious minorities and another resolution that urges Congress not to confirm Jeff Sessions as U.S. Attorney General because of allegations of racial insensitivity. The insurance company for the city of Kenosha will be paying most of the financial settlement with Police Lieutenant Jane Finley. She had claimed discrimination against former Chief John Morrissey when it came to being promoted. The city council actually approved the $60,000 deal a few weeks ago, but there was a confidentiality clause that was involved, so details could not be made public until now. In addition to the $60,000, of which the city will end up paying about $5,000, the Kenosha News says there's almost $70,000 in legal fees. Finley stays on the force at the rank of lieutenant. Morrissey retired as chief last spring. In Burlington, the Common Council not sold on the value of a 4-year contract extension with John's Disposal Service for solid waste collection or expanding the recycling program to weekly for every resident, at least not yet. The matter's been tabled to allow further discussions with the provider. Alderman Ruth Derwitziak called it a matter of checks and balances.
We might weigh the customer service and everything else and say, yep, these people might be X amount of dollars less, but here's our relationship and our history with them. It's not enough of a difference to change our mind. I just look at the bidding out process and no, I don't think we should do it every year. And to make sure that we are picking the best choice and we're making the best financial decision.
Alderman Bob Grandy suggested more negotiation with the current company on a more acceptable proposal.
He may shorten the length of the contract while still giving us the savings. He may allow us to bid it out midway through the contract with him having the last say at being competitive. There's a lot of things that we can work with him. I think their service has been great. I don't think it's good business to just turn around and say, sorry, you know, we're gonna put it out the bid now. I think there's probably an area where we can come to agreement with the current company.
The added weekly recycling component, that's one issue that could be decided at the next Burlington Council meeting, at which point there could also be an update on the talks with John's Disposal Service in reference to a more city-friendly extension proposal. And take note, the Democratic Party of Racine County will have its monthly meeting this coming Monday, January 9th, 7 p.m. inside the Reef Point Brewhouse. That's at 2 Christopher Columbus Causeway on the lakefront. The discussion will focus in on the spring elections. The meeting is also, by the way, open to the public. Almost a year to the day, Milliger's is asking the public to help reestablish a world record for toasting Bloody Marys that was broken last year in Florida. It was back in February of 2016 that Milliger's promoted a Bloody Mary Guinness World Record try to break the mark then of 124. The response, 637. This past October, though, more than 1,100 gathered in Florida to set the new mark. So, February 5th, a Sunday, 10 a.m., the community again being asked to join the record-breaking try at hoisting Bloody Marys at the Great Lakes Farmers Market inside of Milliger's on Douglas Avenue in Caledonia. The goal this time, maybe 2,000. The maximum amount that can be loaned out to a prospective business from the Kenosha County Revolving Loan Fund was increased last night by the county board to $1.5 million. Loans had been capped at $740,000. Supervisor Terry Rose telling his colleagues, the Kenosha Area Business Alliance, which administers the fund, had said that amount, set several years ago, was actually too restrictive.
Many times they are involved in situations where $1 million or more is necessary to attract the particular business. And thus, the $740,000 becomes a limitation to them.
And he says the safeguard set by the county will stay in place.
The fund itself is highly restrictive as to wage limitations, geographic location and reporting. So the increase has a number of restrictions that have been imposed upon it.
The board approved the revisions to the Economic Development Revolving Loan Fund manual unanimously. What would you do if you found three men digging a hole in your backyard? A Kenosha woman called police, told them that the trio claimed that they were just looking for old bottles at the site on 8th Avenue, and they thought it was an abandoned property. The woman explained the home was being renovated. The men filled in the hole, which measured about 5 feet wide and more than 3 feet deep, and then they left. And State Senator Bob Warch, who of course covers Racine and Kenosha counties in his district, has canceled his Thursday listening session at the Northside Library on 27th Avenue in Kenosha. He hopes to have a new date set soon. Our AccuWeather forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.